Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Compass Point, the podcast from the Center for Public Policy at VCU's L. Douglas Wilder School of Government and Public Affairs. My name is Allie Falk, and I'm a current MPA student and Wilder School Fellow working alongside the CPP for the year. Today, we will be talking with Dr. Nikina Douglas-Glenn, director of the Grace E. Harris Leadership Institute, also known as GELI, within the Center for Public Policy as they celebrate their 20th anniversary this month. Before we get started, let's briefly talk a little bit about the CPP and GELI. The CPP provides diverse public-facing services, including leadership development and training, economic and policy impact analysis, survey insights, and program evaluation to clients in state and local governments, nonprofit organizations, businesses, and the general public across Virginia and beyond. So Dr. Douglas Glenn, would you like to talk further about the work that GELI is currently involved with?
Sure. And in doing so, I think it's probably useful if I give you a little bit of history about the Institute. The Institute was established 20 years ago by the Board of Visitors at VCU, really to model the leadership style of Dr. Grace Harris. Grace Harris was the first African-American and first woman to serve as provost at the university. She was originally denied admission to VCU, or what was then RPI, Richmond Professional Institute, because at that time, Virginia did not allow black students to attend universities, non-segregated universities in the state. And so she was denied admission, was given a check to go up to Boston University to study. She only stayed there for a year. She was in school when Dr. King was there. But she decided to come back to Richmond because her family was here. She had gotten married the summer right before graduate school, immediately a month after graduating undergrad at Hampton Institute. And so she came back. She did finish her master's here, master's in social work at RPI, and then left the university and came back as one of the first three African-American faculty hired at RPI in 1968. So she rose all the way up through the ranks from assistant professor. She served as dean of the School of Social Work, a number of vice president positions, and was then named the provost of the university, I believe, in 1993-ish. And after that, she also served as acting president on two occasions. So when she retired, Dr. Trani, to really honor her legacy, proposed to the Board of Visitors that we name a leadership institute in her honor to really model her style of leadership here at the university for our faculty, staff, and administrators. And so since that time, we've been doing leadership programs here at the university and also in the community.
Right. So like you were saying, Grace E. Harris was kind of the driving force behind why they led to the creation of the Institute, or why that became such an integral part of the CPP. So can you tell me a little bit about what programming was like when it first started, or like how it evolved throughout?
Okay. So we've evolved over time. When the Institute was first developed, we were really focused at that time on leadership development for our faculty and administrators here at the university. And so even at that time, really thinking about their leadership here at the university, how can we help our leaders here excel and really find that time for themselves for professional development. That program, VCU Leadership Development, began in 2001, so almost 2 years after the inception of the Institute. At that same time, we also began a program called Women in Faith-Based Organizations and Higher Education. And so it was the predecessor to what we now know today as Higher Ground. Over the years, we've continued to sort of shorten and modify the name. But when that program began, we really were focused on women in higher education and faith-based organizations, because those were two organizations where women traditionally had a difficult time rising through the ranks of leadership. It was also focused on African-American women and white women, particularly because of the racial tensions that existed here in Richmond at that time. There were no other leadership programs based on the grant reports that I've been able to find that really focused on this black-white binary between women and helping them understand how their identity impacted their relationships. And one of the principles that the Institute is founded on is collaboration. And it was the thought that if we could get women into the room to have conversations, we could break down all the barriers in our politics, in our homes, you know, in our communities, because of course, you know, as women, we're problem solvers, mm-hmm. and so what better way than to solve our most pressing issues in our communities than to get women to the table. So those were our two initial programs.
So like you kind of hinted at, there was a little bit of evolution, but mm-hmm. do you see the original character from 20 years ago still right. in the Institute today?
Oh, definitely. I make it my mission. So I've been at the Institute now for 12 years. And so, you know, it's always my goal is to make sure that we're really staying true to the foundation and purpose of the Institute. I had the great fortune of working with Dr. Harris when I arrived here at the Institute 12 years ago. I probably worked very closely along with her until her departure full time from the university. And so I've been able to really understand her mission, vision, and values and the way that she articulated those through the programs as well. And so what I'm trying to do now is to continue to impart that knowledge and experience on my more junior staff so that they really understand, you know, there's a reason why we do the things that we do in terms of processes and the sort of task-oriented, and then really helping them understand the reasons behind sort of a philosophy as well. You know, we're still connected to this idea of collaboration. We're still connected to this idea of teamwork. We're still connected to this idea of open access and that everyone has an equal footing at this table. And so we really think about that when we're developing program content for all of our leadership programs.
And so kind of going off of what you said about how a huge initiative that you guys are trying to go for is finding that equal footing for everybody. So what do you think is the biggest challenge for leaders today versus compared to 30 years ago? Are there similarities or have they shifted?
I think some of the similar, there are still some challenges that are similar today that were evident 20 years ago, although we've made progress. You know, we have, as I've mentioned, our Higher Ground Women's Leadership Development Program, but we also have another program called the Minority Political Leadership Institute, and that was developed in 2004. And so the goal there really is helping individuals interested in policy, public policy, interested in politics, really understand the issues that are important to minority communities. And I think, you know, you only have to open a newspaper or turn on the news to realize that we're dealing with some similar issues that we were perhaps 20, 30, 40 years ago. There are different tactics today, but I think, you know, when you go into perhaps maybe the Black church, or when you go into Latinx communities, or when you try to, when you go to Native American reservations, you really understand that the issues that they're talking about are really the same issues. It's education, it's healthcare. It's issues related to safety and security of their personal beings. And so how do we help folks who are moving into decision-making roles or have access to power that some individuals of these communities might not have? How do we help bring these narratives to their forefront so they can make better policy solutions? I think when you think about women's leadership, you know, we've seen a lot of progress over the last 20 years. You know, I think even Dr. Harris, when you look at her being the first African-American, first female provost in the state. But you look today, we've had, you know, just this week, I received an email, we've got another woman president at one of our local community colleges, I believe it's Tidewater Community College. And so, you know, there's been a lot of progress when we think about leadership in higher education, but we still, when you think about the landscape overall, I believe women are only still less than 30% of all university presidents. And so I think there's a way to go, and I think we see our responsibility as helping to educate the community, helping to provide individuals access to resources. I never enter leadership development from a deficit model, so you're not coming to our leadership programs because you lack something. We're trying to attract individuals who are looking for the next thing to enhance the leadership skills that they already have or the potential that's been identified in them.
Right. So when you look back at Gelly's work, especially within your time there, and it's been 12 years, like you said, what are some of the points that, and points of accomplishment, I guess, that Gelly, that you're most proud of?
I think I'm most proud of everything. Yeah, it's just, you know, I think about it all the time. It's really a great place to be. You know, as I said, I've had the great fortune of continuing on the legacy of such a wonderful person who I, you know, got to meet and spend time with. And not everyone has, you know, has had that experience. And so now I see our role as being able to translate those connections that we had to her personally into the work that we do. When I think about the points of pride, you know, I look at the accomplishments of our alumni, where they have gone on after coming, after encountering the Institute. You know, they've gone on to be university presidents, they've gone on to be public officials, public leaders, they've gone on to just, you know, be successful in their own careers without, sometimes without the notoriety that you might get from these more elected or appointed positions. And so for us, you know, and if I was Dr. Harris sitting here, she would say that, you know, the nearly 1,000 alumni of all of our program are points of pride for her, and each one of them continues her legacy and tells the story of the Institute's work.
So since we've mainly been focusing on the past 20 years, I kind of want to have a more future-oriented question as well. So taking what you've learned in your time at Gelley, what do you envision for Gelley over the next 20 years?
Right. This is a tough question. It's tough, you know, we're sort of in this space now. No, it's a great one. You know, you always have to be, we always encourage our leaders to really be forward thinking and being strategic. And so for us, it's really making sure that, you know, we've refine the programs that we currently have, and we're doing the best work that we can there too. But then thinking about what are the new niche areas that we can focus on. One of the things I'm realizing that this leadership market is getting so overly saturated, and folks are really trying to find their space, and leadership programs come and go. And so really for us, what's important is making sure that we really have a stronghold on the things that we do well and do really well, and making sure those are really great. And so I'm not interested in scaling those up, but what I would be interested in is really trying to figure out what are the new needs in the community. I am a social worker, just like Dr. Harris was a social worker, and so we always have the people at the core of the narrative. And so figuring out what is it that the people need and how can we meet those needs, but not jumping in too far, you know, or too fast just because it's the obvious thing to do, especially around leadership, but really trying to continue to refine our program. I think the other thing is really getting our vision out, expanding and broadening that. We've been doing a good number of research over the last few years and really being able to tell that story. And we just finished a program evaluation of 20 years worth of program participants for both our Higher Ground program and the university program. And so now being able to take that story on the road and talk about the good work that we've been doing, the return on the investment for the university and for the community, is definitely within our next 2 to 3 year plan.
Nice. So is there anything else that you would like to share, whether it be about Gelley within the last 20 years or what you guys are doing right now? I just want to give this chance for you to share of anything that we may have missed talking about.
No, I mean, I think we've covered it all. You know, I think part of the other things that we do develop leadership programs for other organizations, other entities. And so, and I do those on a case-by-case basis. So we don't have this, you know, sort of stock program that we just pull out of a file and pass it on. It really is an individualized, customized experience. And so, you know, it's always a great way for us to connect with community partners as well. There have been a number that we've connected with over the years. And I think, you know, just having a really great team who's really excited about the work that we do. You mentioned earlier about our connection to CPP. And I don't know that many people know this, but our connection really was because, you know, we were both evolving around the same time. CPP and Gelley came online at the same time, 20 years ago, around the same time. And, you know, we knew that centers were going to be this really great concept in the university infrastructure, but also this idea of public policy and connecting leadership with that narrative, and also in a school of public service. There were, you know, it's a really great connection for us. And so for us, still trying to continue to drive that mission and agenda home and helping people understand that, you know, to have great public policy, we have to have great leadership.
All right. Well, that is the end of our podcast. Again, thank you so much, Nikina, for coming on and talking with us. And thank you for listening to Compass Point. We'll see you guys next time.